Now Psalm 118, and now we come to a very remarkable psalm. One of the things makes it so remarkable is this. The next psalm we take up, Psalm 119, is the longest chapter in the Bible. Psalm 117 is the shortest, and between the shortest and the longest, we have here Psalm 118. That in and of itself makes it rather interesting, and it's the last, as we've already indicated, of these Hallel Psalms. And this was the psalm that night when they gathered in the upper room, those men with the Lord Jesus, and they observed the Passover, and up yonder in that upper room with an air of informality and awe and sadness and joy and spontaneity and anticipation. And there they were gathered together. And when they had finished, and there on the dying embers of a fading feast, he reared a new one. You see, the Lord's Supper is not a wailing wall. It's not something that's morbid. There on the dying embers of a fading feast, he reared a new one. And out of the ashes of the past, he took bread and wine. He didn't use bronze or marble to put up a monument, but he made a monument out of the fragile and frail bread and wine. And you notice that at the Passover, they always had a lamb. But all we hear about here is the bread and the wine. You know why? Because the Lamb was there serving them. He was on the way to the cross as the Lamb of God to die. And that bread and that wine was to speak of him until he comes again. I say to you that these are the psalms they sang, and this is the one that they sang that night where it says in the Gospels, they sang a hymn and went out. It was Psalm 118. Now that ought to make it very important to us. And there that night, when that seventh cup went around, you remember he said, I'll not drink this cup with you. I won't drink this one. He passed it on. He says, I'll drink it with you new in my Father's kingdom. But he'd already said, in this psalm, I'll take the cup of salvation. He took it yonder on the cross. And he's the Lamb that shed his blood. And this cup is the new covenant of his blood. And God's good. Therefore, this is to say that God's good to us. And so let's look at it. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he's good, because his mercy endureth forever. Let Israel now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that his mercy endureth forever. And let Vernon McGee now say that his mercy endureth forever. And let you and you, way out yonder in the Caribbean, way down yonder at the equator, way up yonder in Alaska, way across yonder in Okinawa, way over yonder in Europe, all of you folks, let's all of us give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Listen to him. That's what he means. Let them now who fear the Lord say that his mercy endureth forever. This is a great psalm. He sang it that night. He says, I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? Our Lord went to the cross, friends, without fear. Oh, he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Yet the mystery of it all was that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Now, verse 7, the Lord taketh my part with those who help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon those who hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Have you learned that? That is a marvelous lesson. A very prominent attorney here in Los Angeles, he's well known, and he's known as an outstanding Christian. He told me, he said that when I was a young Christian, my Christian life was almost ruined. I got my eye on a man, and that man failed me. and I found out I'd made a mistake. You don't put confidence in man. The psalmist says here it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. And when he sang that, he looked around on 11 men. One of them had already gone to betray him. But those 11 men were going to be scattered like sheep that night. Don't put your confidence in man, friends. They'll let you down. Put your confidence in the Lord. Now, he says it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. All nations compass me about, but in the name of the Lord will I destroy them. They compass me about, yea, they compass me about, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. And that nation, Rome, made up of a polyglot of people, they nailed him to a cross. And that nation, the day they put him on that cross, that nation was doomed. And the great world empire that had existed for a millennium, its days were numbered, and it was soon to pass off the stage of human events. Yet to come back, by the way of Antichrist. Now, I want to drop down in this psalm. It's such a wonderful one, though I hate to pass over any of the verses. But verse 14, the Lord is my strength and my song, and he's become my salvation. Now, this is quite wonderful. In fact, all of this is quite wonderful here. And in this section here, why, you have praise for deliverance, a song of salvation. How wonderful it is. And we read on, the voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. Then listen to this, I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. Reference now to resurrection, but there's something else here also. They're going to survive as a nation, too, by the way. The Lord hath chastened me very much, but he hath not given me over unto death. That is, he came back, and the 37th of Ezekiel makes it clear that he'll open their graves and bring them out of the nations of the world. Now he says in verse 20 and 21 here, he says, this gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter. Now, what is the gate of the Lord? Well, the Lord Jesus made it clear. He said, I'm the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Now, that door was the door to the sheepfold. He said again, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. It's a tremendous statement. Then he moves on here, verse 21, I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me, and art become my salvation. Now we have another figure of speech. The stone which the builders refused is become the head of the corner. Now this is a stone that refers to Christ. He himself, in Matthew 21, verse 42, made it clear, and Peter in 1 Peter, the second chapter, verses 6 and 8. I'll not turn to these. Now he's not only here the gate and the stone, but notice verse 24 here. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We'll rejoice and be glad in it. What day is he talking about? Some 24-hour day? No, the word day can be used for a period of time. It can be used for a 24-hour day, and it can be used for a peculiar type of thing. It could be most anything. This is the day of the automobile, for instance. It could be used like that. Well, what day is he referring to here? Well, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We're talking about salvation. That day's already been 2,000 years long, and we'll rejoice in it. Rejoice in the day of salvation. Now, beginning with 25, here we go again with the hallelujahs. Hosanna! I beseech thee, O Lord, save now. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. Now, this means that the Lord's Supper is not a wailing wall. I repeat that. We forget that. This is the cup he drank, that you and I, our joy might be full. Now, verse 27, God is the Lord who has shown us light. Now, he's light also. Bind the sacrifice with cords even under the horns of the altar. He's on the cross, you see, for you and me. Thou art my God, and I'll praise thee. Thou art my God. I will exalt thee. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endureth forever. Friends, I wish it were possible for me to somehow or another express to you what I'd like to express of how you and I today ought to praise the Lord. You know, this little fella, I'm cabined and cribbaged and contained in this flesh. I've got the hang-ups and all of these things, but I would just like to open up like a flower and express my praise and thanksgiving to my God. Oh, my friend, to fall down and worship him today, to praise his name and to glorify him. That's all important. Why, he loved me. He gave himself for me, Paul could say. And he loved me. And therefore, John could say we love him because he first loved us. Then Peter says, whom having not seen, ye love. Oh, my friend, may your love and my love go out to him. Praise and adoration.